Amen. I'm going to ask if Potter's Wheel will come and join us now. Y'all give them a hand.
Amen. It's good to be with you guys today. I've got a pretty good crowd out there. I want to see a bunch of smiles, though, all right? You know, you go to some places and then they tell you after, boy, I enjoyed that. Well, you should have told your face.
Amen. You put a marker beside them to see if they breathe.
That's right. Yeah, you got to see if they're moving or not. But it is good to be back with you guys today. We love the Lord. How many saved here today? All right. Some of them didn't raise their hand.
Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
I was alone in the darkness, could not find my way, and Jesus shined a light on me, and then he turned on my night to day. Now I've been saved by grace,
I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
When I reach that city,
the gates swing open wide.
I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought me from the other side.
When I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story. How he brought me from the other side. Now I've been saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved
by grace, by His wonderful grace.
My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved
by grace, by His marvelous grace.
It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Oh yes, I'm
saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace. Saved by grace.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah.
Amen. We sang yesterday, and it was a convention, and you know, we only sang like, what?
25 minutes
in our set. But there was 10 groups. 10 groups, and I think we sang
sang with all of them.
Sitting out and watching and listening. They were great songs, so we sang along. Yeah. So we sang for 5 hours yesterday, basically.
Yeah, well,
Pretty much. About 5 hours, yeah.
It was good, though. It was good to be with God's people and just
to share with one another. It's not often the groups get together and to share with one another and just to be with one another and share testimonies and things like that. But it was a good day. But pray for us as we sing today. We got another one tonight, and so it's But anyway, he gets sweeter. It don't matter where we're at. He's sweeter, and he's going to keep getting sweeter every day.
The longer you serve him, the sweeter he gets.
Amen.
The more I trust him, the more I love him. Nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I serve him, the better I can show him. I couldn't stop now if I tried.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is
richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Oh, the moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me. He places love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing with him I am going, and never more from him to depart.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is
richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by.
Oh, it gets sweeter
as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is
richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by.
His love is
richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. Days go by, days go by, days go by.
She was really enjoying it right there. That's a little precious one right there. She was loving that song. Thank you, sweetheart.
Amen.
That's how we should be as adults, you know. When we're Christians, we should have liveliness in our hearts so we can show the world that we love Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed. All right.
The next song that we're going to do is a new song for us. We've been doing it for, what, maybe a month, two, something like that now?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing, God's timing, because we heard this song back at the end of the year last year, and we loved it instantly. We were like, we have got to do this song, and we talked about going to get a track made. So we went in February and talked to the guy about making our tracks, and he said, yeah, I'll get it to you. No, it shouldn't be long at all. Well, the end of February came, no track. I was like, okay. So March, no track, and I thought, what is going on with this track? Why is it so difficult? So he said, I'm sorry, I'm just slammed. I promise you I will get it to you. April came, no track. And so finally, in May, we got the track toward the end of the month. And but you know, God's timing is perfect, because when we heard the song the first time, it meant one thing to me. Because it was like, you know, it talks about the victory, you know, having victory in Jesus and knowing that he is going to take care of us. But, you know, songs to me, when they minister to us, we can then in turn minister to them to you. And in the month of May, some things happened at the church that I was attending, and it kind of became a split in the church. And, you know, as you know, your church is important to you. And when there's hurt and there's heartache and there's anger and bitterness in the church, that becomes a problem. And so I was just devastated. I was calling them almost on a daily basis. Y'all, please pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. Help me, join me, pray with this. But then this song came, and we got to listen to it. Yes. And it just means something completely different now, because it talks about that God is with us even in moments just like this one.
Right.
So whether that may be where I was going through, we're all going through something. If it's not us personally, we know somebody that is going through something. And knowing that God is with us, even in moments exactly like this one, that we have the armor of God to put on,
yes,
to give us what we need.
Yes.
And we have that shield of faith, and that the word is our sword. We have those things that he's provided,
yes,
for us. And you know what? For me, I have to put on that helmet first thing in the morning so that the evil one can't be talking to me, because he loves to get in my ear.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God is, he's a conqueror of that as well. So I just pray that this song just says exactly what you needed to say to you today. But it just talks about, I know it's mine. I know that victory is mine. So I just pray that it blesses your heart.
Amen.
There are so many battles around us, pressing on every side. Sometimes God calls us to stand still, but sometimes he calls us to fight. So I'll hold to the promise, he's with us, even in moments like this. I'm marching out as a soldier with a song of praise on my lips. I'm gonna sing, gonna lift up his name. My weapon of worship is my song of praise.
Oh, no. Him in the storms.
Yeah,
we've got to learn to praise him even when it's hard to do it.
Right.
When the words won't come, you just lift your hands to him, to heaven, and he knows what that means. He knows our hearts. He knows the desires of our hearts, and he knows the words in our hearts. All we have to do is lift it up. I'm telling you, if you're going through something today, you got to get your eyes off of the problem and get them back on the problem solver. That's how things begin to change.
Yeah.
And that's how things changed for me, because it was like I was going through this valley valley with the church issues. And it was like, but, you know, things went on and some hurt happened. But you know what? God showed me exactly that we were supposed to go and do something a little bit different. And in that, blessings have poured upon us. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, he has supplied dates for our group. Yeah. To have us somewhere to be to worship every single Sunday. So I praise God in the storm that tried to come. I praise God for the storm that's going to come next week, next year. That's how you got to do this. You got to praise him in the storm. And I know that in the moment of that storm, it's not easy to do that. It's not easy. But oh, the joy that comes when you're able to lay it down. And oh, the joy that comes in knowing that you have the victory if you're a Christian, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you're saved. And I just love him today. I love him, and I thank him for all that he does for me in spite of me. Because I try to fix things and make a bigger mess out of them usually. But I just thank him that he knows exactly what I need when I need it the most. And he knows the same thing about you because he loves you. Yes. He loves you. God sent his son. Yes. To die for you. Yep. I can't fathom that. I have a son. And I cannot fathom sending my son to die for somebody else, especially people that spat on him, beat him. Yep. I can't fathom that. But he loved us that much. Yes, and if it would have been just you or just me, he'd have done it anyway. Yep. Because he loves us. He's such a loving God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, Stacy, you were talking about being in the valley. You know, in the valley, that's where the nourishment is. That's where the water flows down in the valley, and the grass is green in the valley. And when we're down in that valley, we have something to lean on. We have Jesus, and we have his comfort to lean on while we're there in that valley. So praise him for the valleys. Praise him for the mountaintops. Praise him for all of it, because it's all necessary.
And they'll grow you. Yes. The valleys will grow you if you'll let them.
They will grow you. They Amen. Will. Yes, indeed. Ooh. Brother, this is going to preach in a minute.
I'm not called to do so, but woo!
Do you know him today? If you don't, I'd like to introduce you to him. I know a man who can.
I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. Oh, but I know a man who can. And I can't take a soul that's sin sick, make it white, whiter than snow. Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my that no one loves you and your life is out of hand. Well, I know a man who can. Well, I can't walk upon the waters, and I can't calm a raging sea. Oh, but I know a man who can. And I can't cause blinded eyes to be open, or the lame to get up and walk again. That no one loves. loves you and your life is out of hand. Well, I know a man who
We ain't got to be the tonight singing until about 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, we don't have to be there till 6. Okay.
Ooh,
thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, you know, the Lord, he's done a lot for us. And I thank him for everything that he's done for us. And I just bless him today. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, what kind of person you think you are, how bad you may think you are, God loves you. Amen. He loves you. And he sent his son to die for you. It doesn't matter. I know a fellow that just passed away about 3 weeks ago. A Vietnam vet. 3 Purple Hearts. And he thought that he had done so many bad things that God could never save him. So he struggled with that. He said, no, God can't save me. But thank God. About maybe a month, 3 weeks to a month before that, yep, he gave his heart and his life to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And he said, then he could say, everybody that asked him, there was a lot of people witness to him. After that, he could say, everything's good. Everything's good. I'm ready to go. So it don't matter where you've been, what you've been through, what you've done. It doesn't matter. If it was just for that one person, he would have sent his son. And sometimes we think that maybe God's not, or he's not strong enough. He can't take care of your problems. But he said, didn't I walk on water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the winds and it stopped. Jesus can take care of what your problem is today. It doesn't matter what it is. If there's something in your life today that's hindering you, allow him to take care of that today.
Amen. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be all right. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Oh, and every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
Didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you would.
I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low, says, I've moved like this before. I'll do this little thing, oh, and I'll give you so much more.
Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? Spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? Searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
We're just going to do one more song unless the Lord leads differently, but we've been doing this song for about 6 months now, and it's become such a blessing to us, and it just says everything that we should resound as Christians, because, you know, I've read the Bible several times cover to cover, and nowhere in there does it say that I need to be rich. I need to have a big house. I need to have expensive clothes and big jewelry flashing everywhere to be saved. Nowhere does it say that. All it says is that I have to believe and receive the gift that he has so offered to us. So this song is just, it's one that a year and a half ago when I lost my sweet daddy, I was devastated, to say the least. And this song became my comfort. Because it reminded me that if we lose everything and we've still got Jesus, we've got it all. We've got all that matters as long as we've got Jesus in our hearts. A lot of people have him here, but they don't have him here. My daddy used to say that a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches because you knew about God, but you didn't know him. Today, please know him. It doesn't matter if you leave here and know what the name of our group is, what my name is, what their name is, as long as you leave knowing Jesus. And if you're already a Christian, that you leave closer to him than when you first came in. So this has become my anthem. I love this song. I love it. It just simply says, I'd rather have Jesus.
Rather be led by his name.
Y'all give him another hand. We hadn't planned the Lord's Supper, and this message, we could have just left them keep singing, I believe. I'm going to let the kids go to Children's Church. If y'all follow Mona and Mike there, y'all can go. Y'all give them kids a big hand. I'm going to jump into the message here at chapter 12 of Exodus, and I want to give you a little introduction to that, but I just wanted to share something with Stacy here about her song that she sung, because we're in the book of Exodus, and the first thing I thought of when she was introducing that song is that Moses told the people not to fear. He told them to stand by, and they'd see the salvation of the Lord. And God told them that I'll fight for you while you silent. Why are you crying out to me? Because I'm already fighting for you. And that's the way he led the Israelites out of Egypt. By a powerful and outstretched hand, he led them out. This morning, I'd like for you to turn that to the chapter 12. If you'll turn to chapter 12, we're going to be looking at the Passover today, and I want you to remember the powerful hand of God and how that saves you. And as we get towards the end of chapter 13 here, we won't be able to go by every verse, but I just want us to look at this morning and see what God wants us to see. As she was singing before that, that often we're tempted by things. There's often things that wants to demand our worship. And she said she'd rather have Jesus than anything. As we look at Pharaoh and what's going on here with the Egyptians, God tells them and tells Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let his people go. He says, let my firstborn go. He's talking about the whole nation of Israel. He's talking about the nation of Israel through the promises he made to Adam and Eve, the promises he made to Abraham, and the promises that through this nation would come one descendant that would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And so he tells Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh, and he says, I want you, when you go to him, you perform every sign and every wonder of the powers that I've gave you, but guess what? He's not going to listen to you. But then I will strike down his firstborn son because he did not let my firstborn son go. And then they will drive you out of Egypt. Now, in what we see here is going on, there's been 9 plagues, and I know most of y'all know about these plagues. Most of you have seen the movie of Moses, and you know what's going on here. But I want you to think about something. What God does is shows them that there's no other God like the God of the Bible. There's no other God like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He, in each one of these 9 plagues, he has defeated the gods of Egypt. Fast forward, and you say, well, how do you know this? Because right here in chapter 12, God says, when I come through, I will strike down the gods of Egypt. Everything the Egyptians trusted in, God defeated. And the Israelites, as he is passing these judgments on the Egyptians, remember this. When it is dark in Egypt, all the Israelites are living in Goshen. And where they're living, guess what? It doesn't get dark. When all the frogs are in the houses of the Egyptians, guess what? No frogs with the Israelites. When the gnats is feeding on the Egyptians, guess what? They didn't need no off over there in the houses of the Israelites. Are y'all starting to see a pattern here? 9 plagues go through. Some of us have grew up in church and sat there our whole life and know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We might even believe he died for us. We might already believe that he can deliver us from anything. But as Stacy said, have you ever made that 18-inch connection from your heart to your mind? Because see, we serve a God that is so gracious that he reveals his powerful hand of salvation to us by first of all revealing his plan of salvation. Second of all, he completes his plan of salvation. And third of all, he gives us a way to remember that he is a God that saves us with his mighty outstretched hand. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you again, Lord, as we look at this text for the next few minutes here, Lord, I just pray that you'd give me the words that would just lift you up and exalt you, and that we'd know that you're God, and there's no other God like our God. There's no other God that can deliver with a powerful, outstretched hand. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. As God reveals his plan of salvation to us, and they were singing about grace, and this is what this is. The Israelites didn't deserve anything any different than the Egyptians. What made the Israelites God's people was God chose to make them his people. God chose by his grace to reveal his power to them. God chose them so that he could show all the other nations, all the other families of the world, that if you obey God and follow God, that God will save and deliver you. That your life is the best that it can be when you're following God, when you're trusting in God. And here, God reveals his plan of salvation to them. Like I said, I grew up in church. I knew all the Bible verses. I remember Jenny Neal teaching me the first thing. I remember two things. My daddy told me I had to know math, right? Might not know how to do nothing else, but I could know what 2 + 2 was. And Jenny Neal told me I needed to memorize John 3:16. From my earliest years, I remember that. But you know, just because you memorize Bible verses, if you don't submit to the power of the Lord, you'll never be saved. I was 31 years old before I ever got saved. Thought I was saved. Why? Because I went to church. Well, the Israelites thought they was God's people. Why? Nothing happening to us. Look around. Everybody's getting punished. We must be pretty good people. Our lights are still on. We ain't got no flies. We don't have any frogs. We're doing pretty good. Look, we even got drinking water when everybody else's water's been turned to blood. But now, look what happens. God wants us to see about his plan. Here's the plan of salvation. It is God's plan and our responsibility to believe him and accept it. Have you ever thought about this? This is the first time that God tells the Israelites to do something for him to save them. What do you got to do? Believe me. What do you got to believe? Oh, we're going to have a Passover. He told Moses and Aaron that this is going to be the last plague. He says, so you go and you tell the people that they need to get a lamb on the 10th day of the month. And God tells them here in verse 1, he says, now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. Hey, this is something brand new. Look, hey, y'all got to write a new calendar. Starting right here in April and March, this was the time of year it was. He said, on the 10th day from now on, I'm fixing to act. And when I do, your life's going to change and start all over. From now on, this is going to be New Year's Day for y'all. That's the way our salvation was. When we got saved, Paul says, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is our new life. It begins from right then on. Every morning when you wake up, it's the first day of the rest of your life with Jesus Christ. He tells them, he says, look, this is going to be the first day of the year for y'all. And he says, now you speak to all the congregation of Israel, verse 3, and say on the 10th of the month, each one of you should take a lamb for yourselves according to the father's household. So each family is to take a lamb. And if the household is too small for a lamb, you invite your neighbors that's closest to you. Y'all share it together so you don't waste it to the number of people that's there. Then in verse 5, he says this, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, 1 year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So you keep it for 4 days. You examine it. You make sure it's without blemish. You make sure it is a perfect sacrifice. You make sure there's nothing broke, skint, or messed up with it, is what he's saying here. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Verse 7, moreover, they shall take some of the blood, and they shall put it on the doorpost and on the lintels of the house in which they are to eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. And they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it until morning, and whatever is left until morning, you shall burn it with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute my judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of the Egyptians. Here God reveals his plan of salvation. And let me share with you so we can understand the Passover and what the Passover meant when Jesus was having the Passover the night before he went to the cross for us, and he instituted the Lord's Supper to show the disciples and to show us in the church today through the witness of the disciples that he is the perfect sacrifice. First of all, he says you're to take a lamb. You can take this lamb, and over here in chapter 13, when he's setting up the memorial for them to teach their children, he says it is a perfect lamb, a lamb with a bone not to be broken. John, in chapter 19 of his gospel, makes clear we understand that Jesus was the perfect lamb. In chapter 1, when he sees Jesus coming, he tells his disciples, behold, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He makes a point when Jesus bowed his head and said, it is finished, and he gave his spirit up to the Father. He made a point to say that when the soldiers come to cross to break the bones or the legs of those being crucified, that Christ was already dead and they didn't break any of his bones. John let us know that so we would understand that this is pointing forward to a perfect sacrifice. Chapter 10 and chapter 9 also in Hebrews says that what couldn't be done permanently through the blood of goats and bulls, Jesus Christ done through his body, the flesh. He's talking about the veil. He's talking about it. Christ was the perfect sacrifice that died one time for everyone. The firstborn son, when God talks about him being the firstborn son of Israel, he's talking about the only Israelite that was ever perfect, the only Jew that was ever perfect, the only man that was ever perfect. Jesus Christ come to this earth and lived the life that each one of us should have lived that we never did. I don't care how good you think you are. Guess what? You have messed up somewhere along the way. Jesus never lived outside the will of God, yet he died in our place. So when you talk about God's plan of salvation, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 15. Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned against God, rebelled against God. They're separated from God. And you know how Satan does? They were singing about that this morning. He's always telling you, you ain't good enough. Well, he was telling Adam and Eve in the garden, you ain't good enough. You know what God told him? My son will crush your head. You might strike him on the heel, but he's going to crush your head. Fast forward, chapter 12 of Genesis, he tells Abraham that I will make you great. I will make you a nation. You will be a blessing to all nations, and through your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Pointing forward to Jesus Christ. God is showing us that we can never do enough to be forgiven for our sins. God is holy and God is infinite. And when we sin against an infinite God, we are guilty forever. You get that? There was no beginning and no end of God. So when we sin against God, our punishment goes on forever. But God says, I will make a way for you to be forgiven. And he tells them here so that he can point forward after he delivers them that they need to take a substitute. You deserve to die, just like the Egyptians. Y'all know better than the Egyptians. But if you believe me, if you trust me, I've got a way to pass over your sins. You take a sacrifice. It's got to be a perfect sacrifice. You sacrifice it the way I say. You kill it, and it will take your place. It will ransom you from death. And then take some of the blood and the hyssop, which was a bush, and you take the hyssop, you dip it in the basin where they caught the blood, where they drained out the sacrifice, and you put it on the doorpost and on the lintel or the header. And then you get in the house, and you better stay in the house. Because when the destroyer comes by, and I see the blood, and Uncle Rudy used to, Mona asked me the other day, do you see hear your Uncle Rudy singing that song? My Uncle Rudy was an independent Baptist preacher, and he used to sing, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God says, I'll pass over you. Look, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you need to stay in Jesus Christ your whole life. It ain't, I need a little bit of Jesus now, and then when things start getting better, I can go back to doing what I used to do. Pharaoh kept doing that. Every time the heat get on him, he'd call Moses, pray for me, and he wouldn't repent. He just had some remorse. Soon as God would take away the pressure, he'd forget how great God was, if you remember, and then he'd say, oh, no, we're going to go back doing it my way. Till he got to this last plague, and God says, look, this one is going to show you. You'll know. You either trust in me or you get the full wrath of my judgment. So first of all, you got to have a sacrifice because none of us is good enough to die. Paul says it this way, you know, somebody might even would die for somebody that's really good, but who would die for some scoundrel like Wesley? But Christ died for all of us. And here you got to have a sacrifice and then you got to have the blood. So the sacrifice and it is a substitute for us, dies in our place, and the blood cleanses us from defilement. Because of sin, we cannot come into the presence of God. So it's the shed blood. And then he tells them to eat of this. As he tells them to eat of this, as they eat this sacrifice meal the way God tells them to, because the meal is holy, because the meat is holy, it makes them holy. Peter says that it makes them into a holy priesthood. And you say, well, how does this work for us today? Look what Paul says about, go to that next slide. Paul says that even Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So all the promises that God made to Abraham and God made to these Israelites are for us when we believe in God. When we believe as Abraham believed, these promises come to us also. And Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen race for God's own possession. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You have not received mercy. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The point being that all the promises that God made to the Israelites for the Passover are ours in Jesus Christ. We have them. God reveals his plan of salvation to us. Go to that next slide, Bobby. God reveals his plan of salvation to us, And as he reveals his plan of salvation to us, he also accomplishes it. In chapter 12, in verse 23, Moses explains to the people how God will pass over them when he sees the blood on their doorpost and over the header. And then he tells them that they are to observe this event and explain to their children when they enter the land that the Lord's promised to Abraham, that the Lord's going to give them, that they are to explain to their children when they ask, what does this mean? That they are to say it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel. And it says that then they bowed and they worshiped. And verse 28 says that the sons of Israel went and did just as the Lord had commanded Aaron and Moses. And verse 29 tells us that at midnight the Lord come and struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeons, and all the firstborn of the cattle. It says Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. And then Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron that night and said, raise up, get out from among the people, both you and your sons of Israel, and you go worship the Lord as you've said. Take your flocks and your herds. So everything that Pharaoh had told them they couldn't do. They couldn't take the kids. They couldn't take the women. Then they couldn't take their flocks. Now he's saying, you take everything and leave and go worship the way God has told you to. And he says, and bless me also. Moses, here he asked Moses to bless him. So as we look at this, that God accomplishes his plan of salvation. The Israelites did as God said. God had told them to go and ask the people for silver and gold. He told Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis that your descendants will be slaves for 400 years, no pay. They're going to serve a nation that does not serve me. But when I judge that nation, I will lead them out with possessions. How many of y'all have been serving the Lord and you think, I serve the Lord and the more I try, the harder things get for me? And then you look around and you say, look at that knucklehead. He's still doing everything he wants to do and he just falls into rose bushes. I mean, everything goes good with him. Have you ever felt like that? Hey, I'm following God. Nothing goes right for me. These other people do whatever they want and everything goes right for them. Guess what? God told the Israelites here through Abraham to pass down from generation to generation, you're going to struggle for 400 years, but guess what? I'm going to reward you beyond what you can believe. You know what they had collected for 400 years? Trouble. You know what they left with? All the cows, silver, gold, everything. For what? So they could build the tabernacle. For what? To worship God. For what? For the blessings he'd gave them. Y'all see where I'm going with this? So as Christians today, you say, well, the Lord just really don't bless me for all I put into this. Hey, you ain't got to heaven yet. Things are so much better than we ever going to be able to imagine that I don't even know how to explain that to you. The thing we have to do is trust that God, with his powerful outstretched hand, will deliver us from whatever's going on today or next week. But we just have to keep following him. And remember this, Wesley didn't get better. Wesley didn't correct his behavior. God with an outstretched hand saved him and changed him. And God with an outstretched hand saved y'all and straightened y'all out too. I know y'all think, well, I'm pretty good. Well, no, you wouldn't be if it weren't for Jesus. There was no doubt when the Israelites left Egypt that it was God leading them. It was no doubt when they were standing with the Red Sea in front of them and all the chariots and all the horses and all Pharaoh's men behind them, and the cloud of the night of the power of God, the presence of God, the Shinnah glory of God come and stood behind them so that the soldiers couldn't attack them at night. And then God said, why are y'all crying? I'll fight for you while you keep silent. That's the God that saves us. That's the God we proclaim when we take the Lord's Supper. That guess what? Jesus, if he would die in my place, if he would shed his blood to cleanse me from my sins, let me tell you what, my God gives me a way to remember that and tell it to other people. Because why? I'm going to be with him forever, proclaiming that glory when I see him. You know what it's going to be? You think these signs on the side of the road and the one I got in my yard says, thank you, Jesus, is something? You ain't ever seen no thank you, Jesus, till we get to heaven. Amen. When you see Jesus face to face, you're going to say, why me? Lord, why'd you sacrifice yourself for me? Lord, thank you for pouring your blood over me and just washing the defilement away. Lord, thank you for reminding me with the Lord's Supper that it was your body that was given in my place. And it was your blood that gave me a new relationship with God. This is what the Lord's Supper is about. Paul says in Romans that Christ became our propitiation. It means that he was a sacrifice that turned away the wrath of God. Jesus stood as a sacrifice between God and us and absorbed the punishment that we deserved. And then, after taking our punishment, he forgives us. There Paul says in chapter 3 of Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But as we look forward to this, Bobby, I don't know what's going on with this, but I need you to go to that last slide right there. That one, right there. God reveals his plan of salvation, and God accomplishes his plan of salvation, and then he establishes a memorial so that we will know that it is his powerful hand that saves us. In Exodus chapter 13, we see the consecration of the firstborn. We also see the ordinance of the Passover and the unleavened bread. As the Lord told them, that it is the night to be observed, the night that the Lord brought them out of Egypt, that from now on, every year, they to celebrate this Passover. And verse 43 of chapter 12 says that if they have any slaves with them or any servants with them who are not Israelites, that they are to be circumcised also. And as he takes them up out of Israel, it says in verse 38 that there was a mixed multitude that went up with them along with all the flocks and the herd and a very large number of livestock. So some of the Egyptians, as they saw God protecting the Israelites throughout these nine plagues, and now they saw what God had told the Israelites to do, the Israelites had shared that with them, there were some of the Egyptians and some of the servants of the Israelites that believed God also and partake and they partook of the Passover and they were saved. So it wasn't just the Israelites that God led out. It says it's a mixed multitude of other families and nations and tongues that went with them. And this is to fulfill what is said about Abraham, that I will bless all the families of the earth through you. Same way today. Guess what? They were singing about it. You don't have to be rich to get saved. You just got to believe in Jesus. Guess what? You ain't got to be white, black, red, yellow to be saved. You just got to believe in Jesus. You ain't got to be Democrat or Republican. You got to believe in Jesus. Y'all see a pattern here? You got to believe in Jesus. And you say, well, I thought they said that all religions is like a wagon wheel and like the spokes leading to the hub, always lead to heaven. No, look, it's one way to heaven, it's Jesus Christ. Any other way is a road to hell. Now, all this stuff, that New Age stuff, it doesn't matter. It's all about Christ Jesus and following Him. Go to that next slide, Bobby. No, the next regular slide, not the Bible verses. That's all right. Let me just preach. As we come to the Passover here, and as we come to the Lord's Supper, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this. Paul says in verse 23, I received from the Lord that which was also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as I eat of this bread, as you eat of this bread and you drink this cup, you'll proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and eat of and drink of the blood. As we look forward, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that night, it was to show that Jesus was the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice who died in our place. That Jesus died in our place, that he also shed his blood for us, and that he also provided a way for us to remember that we have been saved and how we've been saved. And when Paul says that every time we eat or drink of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, that is what we're doing. God told the Israelites that from now on, when you enter into the promised land, and when your children asked you why you're doing this, you to tell them that the Lord saved you with a powerful and outstretched hand. And as we come to the Lord's table today, and as we come, we see that Jesus is our sacrifice, that it is his shed blood that is the blood of the new covenant. It's not the covenant anymore where we use sacrifice bulls and goats and sheep. It is Jesus died once for all so that all could be brought to God. And in here, as we celebrate this today, we want to be able to tell people when we leave that this is how God saved us. That Jesus died in our place. That Jesus shed his blood for us. And in shedding his blood for us, we're forgiven if we believe in that. And when we partake of this, I want you, as you leave here today, to tell somebody today in your family or a friend, tell them we partook of the Lord's Supper today. And when we partook of the Lord's Supper, we did so we could share it with others. Paul says that we are to do this in a worthy manner. As God told the Israelites how to prepare the meal, how to eat the meal, and how to continue in the meal, that they were to eat all of it, that they was to trust in his plan, and they was continue on, and the unleavened bread would be a feast that would take place after the Passover in the years to come, 7 days. They would eat the unleavened bread to show that they was following God after he had saved them. You know the reason they was eating the unleavened bread? Because when God saves us, we don't have time for our biscuits to rise. It says they left the leaven out because they was leaving in haste. God called them to follow him immediately. When we get saved, we immediately follow Christ. And when we do that, we share in the cup so that we can remember that Christ shed his blood to cleanse us from sin, and we need to leave them sins behind. So when you, the worthy way of partaking of this is just like the Passover. First of all, you need to be saved. If you're here today and you've never been saved, let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and take control of your life, you know you've been living a way that God's not pleased with, and you know that you need to make some changes, but you just haven't ever been sure if you was ready to commit to the Lord. It's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you lived the life I should have lived. I know I was not living God's way. I believe you died the death I deserve, and you was buried. And I believe 3 days later you was raised to show that God accepted your sacrifice in my place. Please forgive me, Lord, and take control of my life. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. If you're here today and you've been saved, you might have been saved a long time. Here's my question. Have you been baptized? If you haven't been baptized, you can partake today, but you need to say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to follow Christ in baptism so that I can show others that I belong to Him, that I've made this decision. If you didn't know you're supposed to be baptized, just say, Lord, I'll talk to the preacher or I'll talk to my preacher if you from another church today about being baptized. If you're here today and you got something going on in your life that you know that God's not pleased with, something you haven't left behind, you know what it is, I don't. You just fill in the blank. Lord, I still have some trouble with gossip. Lord, I know I don't need to do this. It might be with forgiveness. Lord, I still have trouble forgiving. Forgiving people is a difficult thing to do. We might think we've forgiven them today and tomorrow have problems and resentment or hold a grudge tomorrow. If we do, just say, Lord, help me. We need to confess our sins as soon as we commit them. If there's anything else going on in your life that you know God's not pleased with, just say, Lord, please forgive me. And then as we get ready to partake, I want you to say this. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Kind Father, we thank you for your salvation. And Lord, we just ask now that you just bless us, guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll come down, and Pastor Roger, if he'll come down. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, before he went to the cross, he says, take and eat. This is my body. It says that when he took the bread, he gave thanks. I'm going to ask Jesse if he'll give thanks for the bread. And it says, likewise, when he took the cup, he gave thanks. And I'm going to ask Mike if he will give thanks for the cup and the blood. Amen. Get you wafer, bread. Is everybody able to get theirs, or does anybody need another one? Jesus took the bread, and after giving thanks, he says, "Take, eat all of it in remembrance of me." God taught the Israelites that they was to eat the unleavened bread so that they would show that they was consecrated to the Lord and following the Lord. And in the same way, they was to trust in the shed blood of Christ. And because of that, at the end of the supper, it says Jesus took the cup in the same way and gave thanks and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. Take, drink all of it in remembrance of me." I pray that if you've experienced the powerful saving hand of the Lord, that you would tell somebody what it means. You would share with somebody that all of us have sinned and all of us have done things that was not pleasing to God, but Christ died in our place, that his shed blood forgives us of our sin, and that once we're forgiven, we trust him to help us live a life that's pleasing, a life that is worthy of his life, the life that he gave for us. Share that with somebody this week. This is a lost and dying world around us. And a lot of people think if they just do better, they'll be okay. But they've got to trust in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Please share that with them. Kind Father, as Potter's wheel comes, Jesus told the disciples on the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper to do this in remembrance of him. And Scripture says afterwards, they sung a hymn before departing. Lord, we pray now as we contemplate and listen to this song that our hearts would be renewed in remembrance of how great a God you are and how much you gave to complete our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that could buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me, and I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From these hands, pull the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Calvary, had it not been for the my soul would be
Thank y'all so much. It's been a blessing for Potter's Wheel to be with us, blessing for y'all to be with us today. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you and his face smile upon you and he'd be gracious to you and that he would give you all peace this week. If y'all need anything, please just text or call and let us know. And I'm going to close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessed day. And I pray that you would be with us, Lord, that you would guide, direct, look after us. Be with each one here, Lord. And now may the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all as we depart this place. In Jesus' name, amen.